Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris. The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
There's been only three completions so far in this game for Campbell. He's run it six times. Williams. He's going to be taken down by Luvu or someone else, as it turns out, as he somehow broke that, but only lost more yardage as he tried to fight his way out of a jam. Payne eventually finished it off.
Well, he'll be taken down by somebody, either Luvu or somebody else, whoever it may be. Not a great decision by Caleb Williams there, fighting a little bit too hard and losing enough yardage to get them completely out of field goal range. So I hate when I have to do this. It's one thing to have to open up the Bears' depth chart in training camp.
Yeah.
It's another thing after seven games to have to remind yourself who's on the roster.
And three deep, too.
Yeah. They're out of guys. They're out of guys.
I know one guy.
Well, they're out of guys right now except for Nate Davis.
Healthy scratch.
But he's available.
Exactly.
And maybe Larry Borum.
Could be back this week.
And we'll see how they want to deploy Doug Kramer now, because it doesn't sound like Ryan Bates is going to be available. So the starting line left to right would be Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Coleman Shelton, Matt Pryor, and Darnell Wright. So now Jenkins is going to probably be questionable because he couldn't finish the game. Braxton Jones, we know, if you're just joining us, it was reported earlier by Ian Rappaport that it's week to week, but he may miss a minimum of one or two. Bill Murray, the backup interior lineman, backup guard, left the game with what looked like a pectoral injury, and I'm dubious as to his ability to return. So you've got the rookie Amagaje, who was okay out on the run pulling in space. He was terrible trying to anchor in pass protection.
You can get him some help.
Well, and then you've got your practice squad. And there's Theo Benedict. That was the guy with the silly underpants in from Hard Knocks. Right?
Yeah.
There's Chris Glazer. And there's Jake Curran, who we saw in the preseason. So that's it for your internal options. I know it used to be Dieter Iseland would be the guy that they would be promoting, who was always sort of hanging around the end of the roster. But I don't know.
It's concerning, to say the least, Dan, because it seemed for the offensive line and the offense as a whole, kind of a step back game. I say kind of. It was a step back for the offense. When you don't put up any points against a middling defense in the first half of a game, it's a setback game. Their next game is not in the friendly confines of Soldier Field. It's out on the road. And it could be a Bears advantageous crowd. It could be, because it's Arizona, and we know how fair weather those fans can be and how many Chicago natives.
Yeah, it might be like London. It might sound like London.
Might be a little bit more like London, which was goes in the books as a road game, but obviously a neutral site. So I'm looking at what you're talking about with all these injuries. We're going to have to get more information, which hoping to have something when Matty Berflus talks. You already mentioned the Braxton Jones news. With Tevin Jenkins, it's always an in-and-out situation. Nate Davis is going to be healthy, or he's going to be active on Sunday, is my guess, just based on everything that transpired yesterday. And he's probably not getting moved because they need him. They need the depth on the offensive line, whether you want to say he's good, bad, indifferent. They need bodies at this point. So looking at that, it could be another rough go. Now, Shane Waldron is going to be tasked with whatever you do have, self-scouting, which they were supposed to do during the bye week, and understanding what your strengths, your weaknesses are, and how to shore up as best as possible with your game plan.
Moving Pryor outside would be an option, and I think that's the first thing that Olin Krutz suggested after we saw Amagaje struggling like he did. It was kick Pryor out to tackle and then put Murray in at guard.
But then Murray's got the chest in.
But then Murray left, and Kramer went in at guard, and he's not really a guard. He's a center. So I think you're kind of screwed there unless you want to play Nate Davis at guard and Pryor at tackle. But Pryor's not good at tackle.
Where are we with Ryan Bates and his arthritis?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll find that out also.
Because his window's been opened up, though, right?
Bates? I don't think so.
It has. Now I'm saying it out
no,
loud.
No, we were waiting for it. I don't think his practice window has been opened.
So taking all that into account, you don't want to see someone rush back too quickly. Like if Borum's not in game shape, you can't rush him back in game shape. But they badly need Larry Borum this week.
Well, the other thing they need to do, if they're really playing complementary football and you've got this patchwork ragtag offensive line, they got to fix the screen game. Can't block them, screen them. The draw play was working a little bit better. They finally got that rolling, but just run stuff to get the ball out and not long developing screens. They finally got the slant game going later to Keenan Allen. They found Cole Kmet with the look off left, look back right.
But it took three quarters.
It took three quarters. So don't take three quarters this time. Know what you can and can't block. Know how you're being defended and get after it.
Dan, the biggest thing we talked about was coming off the bye week. Okay, we really want to see what Shane Waldron does to correct the one glaring problem he's had, which is faster starts. And I say he. It's up to he and the players, obviously, the personnel, to get the job done. But there was nothing encouraging on that front from this game. And part of that is the offensive line. Running behind this offensive line doesn't seem like something anyone would be excited to do. That's why I said, for me, one of the biggest positives coming out of the game was the fact that DeAndre Swift was able to make some hay. But overall, it seems real problematic right now.
The 773 says, Kyle Long said he could get ready fast. He was kidding. That was a total joke. And the poor guy then had to get back on Twitter and tell everybody that he was kidding.
Oh, I didn't see that part. He did come back and say,
"Yeah." He said, "Hey Bears, I could put on 50 pounds real quick." Because, you know, he's lost all this weight. He and his brother both are just, you know, physical shells of their previous selves. But
the fact that Bears fans were that willing to be like, "Oh yeah, we'll take you back.
Yeah, come back. We need you."
There's a lot of meatball.
And he's like, "No."
That's how desperate it is.
He said, "I'm kidding." He said something like, "He said I get knocked down when my 2-year-old gives me a playful head slap."
Yeah. Yeah. The game has passed him by, and he knows it. He's very much self-aware and understands where his standing is.
Yeah.
But Caleb Williams needs protection.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Caleb Williams has to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was bad in the first half.
Be your own protection.
Yes.
By getting the ball out.
He was bad. And early season bad. That's why I said this was a step back for the entire offense outside of DeAndre Swift, who continues to move forward.
They had some plays blocked. They had a screen set up to Keenan Allen that he just
threw and he missed
way over his head.
He missed. So that's
what I'm
saying.
Downfield throws.
This wasn't just on the protection. The lack of protection didn't help as the game went on and guys started dropping like flies. But I'm interested to see, as I am every week, Dan. Listen, we had 2 weeks of anticipation for this game because of what it meant and the possibilities. And what possibility were we left with when it was all said and done? The possibility that Matt Eberflus is not good enough as a head coach and that Shane Waldron is not good enough as an offensive coordinator to get it done, especially in this division this season.
And that's why I wanted to sort of pin down Anthony Heron on how to deal with the Tyrique Stevenson situation. And I guess I'm more on your side of it than his side of it, because I know Stevenson's a good player, but as Olin Krutz said, we don't know what he's been like in practice. Does he drift mentally?
And I think Anthony hammered that, except for he was giving him the benefit of the doubt as he was hammering that same point that Olin was making.
Yeah, I get it. He's good.
Olin was saying, if it is this bad, this is what you have to do. And Anthony said, let's wait to see how bad it is before we decide what we're going to do. And I respect both angles on that.
But it is the essence of what your coach is about as a head coach that was mocked. It was lampooned by a player on the field. His back was turned to the play. He was busy.
It's outrageous.
He was not interested. He was doing something else. And your whole message is hustle, intensity, situational intelligence.
Yeah. And takeaways. They didn't get any takeaways either. But they lost the turnover battle and still were in position to win the game.
That's Marshall Harris. I'm Dan Bernstein. Mark Schlereth is going to join us next on The Score.